Mike's been sick since
last year.
Last year.
Let's start.
All right, good morning. Today's workshop meeting on December 19th, 2023. It is 9:01, basically. I want to give you guys some updates on the ARPA. Oh, hold on, I guess I should hit the record button. All right, workshop meeting December 19th, 2023 at 9:01. Give you guys an update on some the ARPA purchases that we had approved a couple of weeks ago. The trailers purchased and acquired, it's sitting back here if you'd like to brave the cold and take a look at it.
All right.
It fits the bouncy house and the fire safety house nicely with some extra room to store some other associated fire prevention stuff within it. We're actually thinking about maybe making some shelves on the side of it, you know, to put like the little hats we give away and different things. So that's in and done. Mini dump, we're still waiting on the dealer, Bo Townsend. It comes with a plow, so I think they sent it off to have it final fitted.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, so I think that's where it's at. Josh has been keeping in touch with them. The rip packs and fans have been ordered. The shed is purchased and delivered. It's sitting right here on the side of the building.
That.
We've already put our speedy dry in it, and we're in the process of moving the hose in it. The only thing was, it comes with like a ramp that goes out to go into that garage door, and they didn't have it there, so the manufacturer's sending us one direct, so that way we'll be able to actually use our skid to just, or pallet jack, just to move it right up in there. It's just not acquired. They just didn't have it, so the whole thing's there. The radios, Josh is in that purchasing program. The boots have been ordered, and the recliners are ordered, and they're just waiting for delivery. Already done, just waiting for the delivery.
Awesome.
So that's all done. The not on here, but today, you know, we had the assistance to firefighters grant. We got the air packs.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of that was the SCBA fill station. It got delivered this morning.
Oh, great.
Yeah, great on one side, bad on another. Every hinge on the one cabinet was broken. I don't know how that happened, unless it was a cold to hot thing. I don't know why it happened, but it happened. So already taking pictures of those, sending it to the, in fact, Josh just updated me. He emailed Atlantic the pics of all the broken hinges, and they'll take care of it. Always something. So, but it came, and it was even inside of the,
crate.
Kind
really?
Of thing. Yeah. So I don't.
And they were all broken? That's wild.
Just about every one of them.
Jeez.
I mean, to the extent where when we uncrated it, panels were falling off. Because it's basically, so there's two parts of it. There's the fill station component, and then there's the where you put your bottles so that they're explosion proof. The one unit looks, everything's fine. The other unit, every single hinge seems to be broke. They're all plastic hinges that kind of have a plastic upper and plastic lower with a pin that goes in between them. They don't hold a lot of weight. They just hold the tin metal that it's done. So you can open it and service it. So they're just all broke.
They're plastic hinges?
Plastic hinges, yeah.
What's the PSI on those bottles when you fill them?
4.5.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, they're 4.5 cylinders. It would fill up to 5,000, but there's things you put in there, so it fills up to 4,500. So it's pretty significant. That's why you put them in the explosion-proof containers, so that way if something fails when you're filling it, that's the time when the bottle heats up and everything else with that transfer of heat, of energy.
We teach hazmat. We got quite a few of those.
They're very similar. I mean, they're an air pack, same as what you do for confined space or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we put them in there so that they don't blow up and kill people. And there's been documented cases of people filling cylinders before these explosion-proof containers came out. The other thing we have to be super careful with is our oxygen cylinders when we're filling those, because those are generally not have explosion. We have an explosion-proof one for the portable oxygen cylinders we use, the little ones.
Mm-hmm.
But when the big ones, you're filling those on the side of the truck, there's no way to do that. So you just fill them slow, let it go, and hopefully nothing fails. Yes. So that's in, but obviously they need to come install it anyway. So I imagine they'll just bring replacement hinges. I mean, all it is two screws here, two screws here, and then replace the hinge. Nothing's damaged on any of the metal or anything. It's very,
wow.
It's weird. The other thing I can think of, so this thing's built with pretty small tolerances, mm-hmm. as far as that goes. These doors, you know, fit into a pretty, you know,
tight
a snug can thing. So if that thing would have shifted a little during transport, that it would have shifted enough to just snap those hinges. And they are plastic, so they're cold right now, and
yeah.
something happened.
Yeah. No thanks. They look good, though.
What the hell?
More for Mike to eat, then.
You good?
No, I'll take one.
I've never seen you say no before.
I didn't say that. I said, what the hell?
Box.
Well, we're talking. Would you want any left?
No, they're all yours.
So that's kind of updates on purchases and things we've been working on.
So when are they coming in to install it?
We had to get it and then schedule it for the install. I mean, it gets shipped directly from Frigidaire, or it's not Frigidaire, but it's like something along those lines, compressed air or something like that. And it gets shipped directly from the manufacturer, and then the company comes and puts it in. So when it got here, we were scheduled to install. Like I said, Josh has already emailed the pics to Atlantic, to our representative, to let him know that there was a problem with shipping.
You can't fill them bottles on a fire scene, can you?
You can call for a truck to come out to fill.
Right. Miami County actually has a trailer that's a portable fill station that can come out and do it and has all the things in it. If you look on the side of our fire trucks, right above the wheels, you'll see two like little openings. Mm-hmm. Those carry spare cylinders in them. So we can switch cylinders out, but we don't generally fill unless we have no ability to fill. We call for somebody.
But you call backup.
You just have enough that you can swap them out.
Yeah. And that means you're getting about, they're supposed to be 30-minute cylinders. You're getting about 20 minutes of working time out of them by the time you're exerting yourself and everything else. So, you know, with the ones we carry, we have enough for about 40 minutes of worth of actual air that we could use. Fire scene logistics, most of the, you're only breathing air when you need to breathe air, if that makes sense. So there's a regulator that goes on the front that you can take on and off. So if you're in a non-hazardous environment, you'll just click it off, you know. And
as long as you remember to do that.
Yeah, and you do. To be honest with you, breathing air is kind of like the least fun part of the whole thing. I mean, it's just kind of it's a thing. And it takes your energy more than anything else. Even taking that regulator off so you can breathe straight air through it.
It's so much better.
Yes. Yeah. One of the things that's really nice about our new air packs and the more modern air packs is it used to just be like one face piece.
Right.
You know, so inside it was just open. Mm-hmm. So you'd have a lot of fogging up and everything of your vision area. The new ones kind of have a cup that goes over, so it kind of keeps this not so foggy. But the downside of that is if you used to fog up, you turn on your bypass, blow a lot of air, unfog yourself.
Oh, and now you can't do that.
Now it's harder to do that. So yeah. Everything has its positives and negatives, but they are much, much more advanced than our old ones. We've been playing a lot with the new air packs because if you remember, we paid extra for the upgrade in the masks so that they would sync via Bluetooth to our radios. Mm-hmm. It's taken a little bit to get used to because it's just a different, you have to talk a little differently because you got air, you got everything going on in there. But we're getting used to it. Our last training that we had, it was much better than it has been in when we first got them. Everything takes a little bit to get used to. At first it was like, rawr, 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 rawr. But now, you know, people are talking more clearer. And, you know, taking a little bit more time. And if you're not used to it, it's a little different. Yeah, we have problems with people talking on the normal radio sometimes.
Right, but that's why you train.
Exactly.
You ever heard of spitting on your mask to keep it from fogging?
That's a big thing in divers.
Yeah.
I've never done it in the fire service just because you're generally not thinking that way.
Yeah.
You know, you got
it does work
going.
When you dive.
It does. I've never. There's also some products that float around out there that you can like pre-treat the inside of your mask with. It's not that big of a problem for us, so we haven't really done it too much. The worst time of the year is like right now, when it's kind of mid cold. When it's hot, you don't have a problem with it. when it's super cold, you don't have a problem with it. It's right now in that weird, this is the best temperature
degrees.
To fight fire at, though, honestly.
Yeah.
Hey.
Because when you put,
what do you ask for?
You got a fire today, that's okay. But when you put your all your gear and everything else on, and everybody's like, oh, it's going to be nice fighting fire today, it's 80 degrees. Heck no, it's too hot.
Hi, Robert.
Well, you like it like 40 degrees outside.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyways, kind of the purchases, any questions on any of that stuff? So moving right along with those. Okay. Trustee item cards discussion. I did. Julie sent me an email yesterday. I came in this morning and printed them off. Sorry I didn't get back to you yesterday.
No, it's okay.
She said it'd be nice if we're talking about fire chief to see position descriptions. So this was the one that you, when I say you, meaning the trustees approved via resolution in 2013. We haven't had a change in fire chief since. So, this was when you basically hired me. Would you like to take a minute to go over that?
Andy, this is forever ago, and I don't even remember how we got this job description. I have it on my computer somewhere. But have you taken a look at it? Do you feel like this covers it? It looks to me like we need to put some hours in there. This is not a full-time position, but I'm guessing it's a 20-hour a week job. 15 plus. Well, I'm sure plus on certain occasions.
Yeah.
And I don't think we want to pin whoever becomes part-time chief down to exactly 20 hours, no extra. But we do want it, them to know that it's not just stroll in for an afternoon and stroll out. So.
Correct.
And the pay itself is not set up as an hourly pay.
Correct.
Right, that's true, yeah. It's set up as a stipend. Yeah. So I think we need to look at that, too, because I think we thought this was going to be 10 hours, and if the new chief is also not the administrator, 10 hours, there's no way it's going to cut it. I don't think. I mean, you or the...
Well, I don't think that 10 hours would cut it. I agree. You know, it's such a fluid... thing with hours where you might be working on something and take you 80 hours in a week
right.
to work on something, and then when things are going smooth and nothing's really happening, it might be
right.
the 10 hours is fine, you know, stop
right.
in, check in, see what's going on.
Right.
Or a fire. May cause
right.
you to work 6-8 hours.
Right, yeah. No, after you've already worked your 20 hours.
Yeah, I mean, any given fire that we have, you figure is at least 6 hours, if it's a real fire, is at
oh,
least
right.
6 hours worth of work
yeah.
right there. One of the things that we've done over the years with this position is to create the other positions to,
right.
You know, as with any fire department, to delegate certain duties.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, on here, you see, I glanced at this morning. I mean, I've been living it, so I haven't really taken a look at it too often.
Right.
Scheduling. Let's just talk about that. I mean, that's something that... Right now, Josh exclusively handles as one of the
uh-huh.
assistant chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Training. That's been assigned to Mike and Ben, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Ben does it as the captain of training, and Mike oversees what Ben does.
Right.
All fire operations has been assigned to Mike, and all EMS operations have been assigned to Terry.
Uh-huh.
So, the goal is, and I struggle with this because I am a very hands-on person, is that you're managing those positions as the fire chief.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I do. That is part of what I do, but probably one of the things that I do more than others is I get involved with all the other things. I mean, just this last training, on Friday night, me and Mike were the instructors. I mean, I wasn't just sitting back supervising it, I was out there doing it.
Right.
And I think that's important. For me, I think that's important because it builds that trust in you as the chief with your people. I like to lead by example, not lead by words.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that. I mean, you can ask Mike. Mike's been around the entire time I've been chief. I think that's one of the things I've done.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know,
right.
I'm talking about, you know, qualities and things.
Right. Well, and this does say responsible for overall administration of fire department support activities, including department personnel, payroll function training. So it doesn't say that you have to do them. It just says you have to.
You're responsible
that it gets done. So, and I think that's the structure that you've set up, and I don't really see any need to deviate from that structure necessarily.
We've tried to make it into as much kind of well-oiled machine as we possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, obviously there's always problems and things that come up,
mm-hmm.
Broken trucks and,
right.
You know, problems that, you know, it's hard to quantify fire chief. For instance, we had our fire department Christmas party last weekend, right? And I'm up there doing some last minute things because I always do this round of trivia at the fire department, you know, like kind of bar trivia, and everybody has fun with it. And so I'm printing those things off, and we get a medic call, right, as I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a call from Mike, says, hey, they were backing into the driveway, missed the driveway, went into the ditch, and the medic stuck.
Oh, no.
So here I am trying to figure out all this.
Right,
set up
yeah.
Party.
Wasn't me.
Right. It wasn't Mike.
It was not
you know. And, you know, so you're always doing things
right,
that you don't know you're going to be doing. That
right.
It's hard to quantify those things, except for you're responsible for it.
Right, yeah.
You know, okay, it stuck so bad we can't pull. I had called Robert, tried to pull it out with the mini dump, tow truck, the strap snapped because
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of weight to be pulling out of a ditch. So we had to call Sandy's Towing and have him winch it out.
Right.
And so you're trying to organize that at the same time that you're 20 minutes away from an annual Christmas party. I mean, you never know what you're going to get
right.
into. Multitasking is probably one of the biggest things you have to do.
What do you need them? Just send the other medic?
Yeah. So the crew that was there, we sent out a medic with a chase car. So the chase car is there to assist and help and go with them as needed. They sent the chase car back. It was not something that needed immediate transport. Got our other medic, took it down there, took the patient to the hospital. And then the lieutenant stayed with the medic until the tow truck showed up and hauled it out. So it's hard to quantify. I mean, I don't know.
Our medic's four-wheel drive.
The new one is, and the new one that's coming will be. The one that was stuck is not.
I was going to say, I couldn't picture how that could be stuck.
Yeah. The one that got stuck is the one that's two-wheel drive.
So, I know you said it's hard to quantify, but is 20 hours a fair thing to say?
I think for the general administration, and I think the one thing that says at the end of this whole job description, I was looking through there, ability to work more other than normal working hours, I think is one of the biggest components to that. 20 hours, if you had really kind of, let's say a normal week with a couple of problems, a couple of things you had to address. Yeah, 20 hours would probably be fine. 20 to 25 maybe. Obviously you throw a fire on that, add six more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you add wanting to update your SOGs or SOPs, add another 30 hours to the 20. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, averaging out probably anywhere, I would say probably 30.
Oh, wow.
20 to 30, if you average it out over
mm-hmm.
a time. And the reason I say that is, you know, right now, I kind of split that role, you know, the dual role. And so if I wasn't splitting it, every time I walk in when I'm not working, hey, chief, I want to talk to you about something.
Right.
Hey, chief, I want to talk to you about it. It just happens right. every time. Mike, the same way. I mean, you know, before it was hey, cap, now it's hey, chief. You know, you came in this morning for this meeting and walked in, and I'm sure you had fire stuff before you even sat down. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thinks it's the biggest emergency of the day.
Right.
So, 25 hours, I would say we're saying that.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
And what about the rest of this? Do you feel like it covers it?
I think so. I mean, I think I read through it this morning, and basically it's saying that you are responsible for the operation of the fire department. And that's what it is. I mean, that's what that job is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're all, you know, it doesn't really say this in here, but the biggest task you have is to try and delegate it out to the most competent people.
Right.
For instance, Josh is very tech savvy. Mm-hmm. So that's why he's got communication, scheduling,
right.
and everything else. Terry, he's all EMS. That's mm-hmm. why he's in charge of EMS ops.
Right.
You know, he reviews run sheets. He looks for things. He's part of train the trainer, protocol testing stuff. I mean, that's his thing. So that's what he does. Mike is very fire oriented. I mean, he still does EMS, but his fire is his bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's in charge of fire. And Cahill has a passion for training. You
right.
find those
yeah.
things. That
got the right people in the right seats.
Yeah. You know, the one that you don't select the most is your lieutenant positions, because we do a testing procedure for the lieutenant positions. And, you know, it's one of the things that's always been kind of a sore subject in the fire department is those frontline supervisors of lieutenants. You test them for their knowledge, you know, and all this kind of stuff, but, you know, you don't really test them for their leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the reasons we all went through this fire officer course, and including
right.
the new lieutenant. And, you know, I think they learned something in there.
Yeah.
About management skills and about how you know, there was a large section on how you deal with employees, you know. And the new thing within the fire service that I struggle with every day is the mental health aspect of your
yeah.
people. I'm still very old school, and I still, you know, it's a touchier, feelier fire thing these days. But
it's a huge epidemic.
It is.
In fire and police.
You know, I still go out there and say,
first
you
responders.
Go on a bad call.
But that, I mean, their people are, that was the OTA last year, their responders are just quitting in droves because they just can't bear to see
what you see
and then be told to suck it up, you know.
And that's the era I came from.
I know.
So I've been
yeah.
trying and
back
I,
in the
I've
dark
been
ages.
Making some strides to learn that. It's difficult, mm-hmm. been a difficult process, but I think going into the next era, that's going to have to become a focus, is that mental health aspect. And I think that's why there was an entire section of this class that we just took devoted to that.
Yeah.
And it's been a struggle for me. I've learned a lot. I still kind of have that old school mentality. And, you know, part of that is, I did learn, and this is kind of a personal thing.
That you worked for the best. Bethel Township Fire Department.
Well, I already knew that. But
and that you made it from the challenging program that it was to a phenomenal organization.
I've been doing this for 38 years now, and on three different departments. My first department, Mike can attest to this, very busy, very crazy in Harrison Township. I mean, you see things you shouldn't see there. Then went to Butler, where you still see things you shouldn't see. And I learned the This has a cumulative effect on you. And you don't realize it while you're doing it.
Yeah.
You don't realize it till it becomes harder and harder to deal with these things. So and that's why it's important.
Yeah, it's very important. Really is. Time for an old dog to learn some new tricks, huh? Not that you're old, Andy.
Well, I'm ancient. No, and I apologize for this. It just is something that...
Don't. I mean, it's a real issue in the fire and police services. And like you said, we don't address it enough. And there's almost like a personal code of suck it up. Don't show any vulnerability.
You become hard. And you transfer that into everything.
But it still sticks inside you, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know... the incidents, I've always been able to internalize those things and say, okay, they are what they are. If we weren't there, it would have been worse. And, you know, if we weren't there, that person wouldn't even have had a chance to live, even though they did die, whatever it is. But, you know, it becomes harder to talk to the families. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I think gets you over time is you don't generally do that when you're just a firefighter. You do that when you start to become the officers of the
crews. Right.
You get that, you know, and now I get that as the ultimate person who has to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't only get to see them there, but I get to see them when they come back to ask for the run report from the tragic accident, or when they
mm-hmm.
come and, you know, and you see the grief and everything that they deal with, and you just eat it.
Yeah, again and again and again.
You feel Josh has all of those qualities?
Yes. I actually do, and, you know, back when we started dealing with mental health, we still had Jay Zimmerman here, and we had Josh, and that was one of the things I sat down with those two and really talked about a focus. And you talk about teaching the old dog some new tricks. That was tough, teaching Josh, or Jay Zimmerman, that. If anybody knows Jay, that was a very difficult conversation, because he's hard, too, and he was just as hard, if not harder, than I was, and... You know, I think the big thing that changed Jay was kids. You know, when you start reflecting how you act around your family, that's a realization. And, you know, there's a reason why firefighters and cops hang out together, because that's the kind of stuff that they deal with. So you don't have to explain it to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to know that they know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It all, I think, started really coming to a head when we had that really horrible accident at 202 and 40. We're just senseless.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yes, I do. He's well aware of it. We've had several conversations about it. He's been part of the solution of trying to fix it, as we all have been, all of the officers. I mean, Mike has learned that he's became chief counselor now, I think. Everybody seems to walk into his office. And
Dr. Phil.
Yeah, Dr. Phil. You know, we've really tried to make it a little kinder, gentler, understanding, and realize that it's not just us. You
right.
know, it's not just not just the job. And the hardest thing to deal with is the external things.
Mm-hmm.
But they're real. You know, if you're having marital trouble, or if you're having a sick kid, or if you're having this or that, they're real.
Right.
And they affect your performance.
Yeah.
And, you know, how we can deal with that just becomes part of the job. Does it become you need time off? Does it become you need counseling? We just found out that there was a problem with our EAP stuff.
There
was
really?
Just a gap. One of our people reached out to EAP and came to us and said, there's a problem. They're not calling me back. So we sat through a long web meeting with the EAP people. They were apologetic, and when I say we, me and Debbie, we found out all of our stuff was in order. It just, there was a break on their end, so it's fixed.
Oh, good. Good.
And that person's, you know, now receiving the counseling that they needed from external sources.
Good. Not that Dr. Phil, Dr. Mike
has.
Dr.
John, Dr. Mom.
your doctor mom. Yeah. No, it helps. I mean, you need to talk to somebody.
Now, the one thing that you do realize as chief, people don't want to come to you for stuff.
Yeah,
they don't.
So I have to rely heavily on the Dr. Phils and Dr. Moms to kind of keep me in the loop because they don't.
Right.
That's like the ultimate admission of weakness or something when
right.
you have to go to the chief, you know. So I've talked to Josh about that. It's like, you know, right now you know a lot of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't keep your network open, you don't know what's going on
mm-hmm.
Because people are afraid sometimes. For whatever reason, like
right.
I'm some intimidating, evil old guy. I might be, but don't try not to trade it.
20 years.
I don't see any reason not to appoint him.
I feel like it's important that our public service has some continuation. We're going to have enough disruptions with the township administrator being gone for a while. But public service, we've got to function. We've got to answer those calls. We've got to have people on the schedule. We've got to have it all working smoothly. I mean, we don't need somebody to have to, you know, die on our watch that could have been prevented had we had the right equipment, the right tools, the right people in place. And
well,
you feel strongly that Josh can step up.
Yeah. I will throw another wrench into that. I was approached by Mike and Josh to reconsider retiring fully from the fire department side of things. Asked me if I would stay around and switch places basically with Josh. Stay on and mentor him some, take care of some of his responsibilities. And one of the biggest reasons, especially in talking with Mike, is we're very new at our lower ranks.
Uh-huh.
We don't have any really promotable people.
In the lieutenants. Right.
I mean, they're all still super new. They're all within,
right.
the first 2 years of being a lieutenant, with the exception of James Sebastian, who wants to stay exactly
yeah,
where
he is. Yeah,
he
doesn't want
to. So there's really no promotable people within the ranks yet.
Mm-hmm.
So another year or two on that would get them some experience and some mentoring, get done with this firefighter class, see how that comes out. And I could help Josh with some of the responsibilities like he currently does, which is scheduling,
uh-huh.
A lot of things that are very time consuming.
Right.
So I could assist with that.
And
but you would not be doing any of the
just be doing fire stuff. Yeah, just
yeah.
be another fire department member or part of the, you know. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm retiring from that. I mean, that's for whoever to decide, whoever takes that next thing and takes the township in whatever direction they town, you know, go in. And that'll be great. This is kind of my, you know, I was going to look for another part-time job in retirement. And when they approached me with that, I thought, well, there's my part-time job if everybody would have me. So.
And you feel you can step out of the shoes into the assistant chief shoes and it won't drive you crazy when Josh
no,
does
I don't
something?
Think so.
Okay.
And
Josh asked you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Mike.
And Dr. Mike. And one of the biggest things where I think that I can still function in that role is I think Josh will still maintain the same level that I did with it being, I don't talk about my decisions as my decisions. I talk about them as the command staff came up with these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You always hear me say that, the command staff, which is
mm-hmm.
the chief, assistant chiefs, and captains, or captain that we currently
mm-hmm.
have. And, you know, we work on things as a group and come up with good solutions. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel that's where I can make that transition smoother.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't a long-term thing for me.
Right.
I mean, I always said when I get to 40 years in the fire service, I'm done either way. So it's only a couple more years, but
mm-hmm.
it would give a couple more years of training and
well, and mentoring
those
lieutenants. I mean, that's huge. It's
I would be able to work more directly with them now.
I mean, seriously, before you became chief, the fire department was the biggest headache in the township, just because there was so much turnover, so many challenges with the
stuff.
Yeah. Just not agree.
So, I mean, if that's something you would entertain, I would entertain it, and we'll see how it works out.
I think it's an awesome solution. I think it's less disruption in our fire service. I think it helps mentor Josh, too. I mean, we'd like to see him, we'd all like to see him succeed. And if Josh figures out that that's not his role, helps us find a new fire chief or whatever, you know, and you've got so much experience. I mean, I'm good with it.
What are your thoughts, Julie?
Well, I have some questions. So, I mean, we've pretty much seems like just it's a done deal, and we've ruled out even finding somebody who could do both roles, which I thought would be kind of the first question. Would Josh be interested in doing both roles, or?
I'm not sure.
I mean, it's like we've taken it off the table, and
he just took a supervisor position at dispatch. I'm not sure what. You know, I don't ask.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just asking the questions. Is that we haven't explored any other opportunities, or any avenues, not opportunities, and then, you know, can we? I mean, one thing I was thinking was, if there is a possibility of getting somebody that can do both, to have somebody in there, can we have like an acting fire chief or interim fire chief until we can see what's out there?
I think that's up to you guys to discuss.
So we had, before Andy, we had Mike Gebhardt, and we put him in as fire chief when one of them left.
So the history of that, just to fill you in on that a little bit, is we had Carl Blackburn. He was, well, you had
Kathy,
who was a volunteer fire chief. Then you had Carl, that was a full-time fire chief. They thought that was the solution to that. Then Carl left, and we had an interim fire chief that they hired outside, which was Chief Counts. He was the old fire chief of Troy. They just put
after Carl or after Stitzel?
After Carl.
Oh, okay.
And so they just felt that they, you know, still needed somebody. Carl's left under not good circumstance. And so they put Counts in. He was here for like 6 months.
Yeah.
For how long?
For like 6 months as an interim fire chief. The trustees at that time posted for fire chief and ended up going with an internal candidate, Dave Stitzel, who was a part-timer.
Who?
Dave Stitzel.
Oh, not Dwayne.
Not his brother.
Okay.
Kind of with that 10 to 20 hours a week thing, and he just was never here. He didn't he didn't work. So then Dave, I don't know the circumstances behind Dave leaving. He just left. I think he was in the drop program and retired through his full-time position or whatever. But in all honesty, Dave was never here. He would show up 10 minutes a day, leave. So then after that, the trustees decided to put Mike had his fire certs and everything and put him in charge. And this is nothing against Mike. Mike just did not have the experience.
None.
He
didn't know what he was doing. I mean, he couldn't know.
No, he took that before. Yeah, and so he was new. He
didn't have the experience.
He'd never really been on a fire department other than here. And then so when Mike, I mean, we lived with it and everything else, but then when Mike left in 13 and they combined the two positions, well, Mike's was combined, and they thought, well, that worked pretty well with budgeting and everything else.
Right.
So they made the switch. Not patting myself on the back, but I had a ton more experience and a lot of different ways of things I thought things should go. They got supported, you know, with you guys, and we are where we are. We're a fully part-time department that's staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, takes the calls, is trained, does a great job. I think our people are phenomenal, like any chief would. So that's the history of that, of kind of how it got from point A to point B. We used to have separate fire chiefs up until like 2011. When Mike took the role as public safety director.
Well, and whatever. We made him that because it had been such a
tumultuous.
Yeah, it's a good adjective. Tumultuous time with Stitzel. He just never showed up. He was never here.
Was you here when Carl was here?
I was here. Mm-hmm. He was a very good firefighter. Maybe not the luck. Made some poor choices as chief, I think, in my opinion. So.
Well, one of the things with Carl, I mean, I'll speak bluntly, is one of my biggest challenges coming on was to, one, restore morale in the fire department because it was horrible, and two, was to restore our working relationships with our mutual aid people, because there was none. There was people that would not come to Bethel or call Bethel Township for their needs because Carl was just caustic to them. I mean, he'd say things that he shouldn't say when he would go to fire, so... that was like the first 5 years of doing things with.
That's putting it very politely.
Well, I pulled a little bit, but anyways, you know.
Yes.
That's a super important part of this job is the networking part.
Right.
I mean, we operate with four people, and then add me and Mike in during the day. That was six. You know, the chief on at night, which is five. You can only do so much with five people. I mean, you're taking care of the initial fire response. You need tankers, you need other fire crews, you need backup crews, you need RIT crews, you need your mutual aid departments, and you have to rely on those mutual aid departments. Mm-hmm. And you can't have them coming in like, I don't want to be here because these guys are a bunch of assholes, to be honest
with you.
Right, yeah. Now, I mean, honestly, that's what Bethel Clark is right now. None of us like to go there. When we call for them, we get crap. We've turned around and sent them home because of their lack of training and lack of ability.
Who's their chief now?
I don't know. They
all know his name.
Mm. the guy that was their fire prevention officer. Mm. And if you really want to know the inside part of that, they have the Ludwigs who are assistant chiefs over there. They didn't want to promote one because within their policy, they couldn't supervise the other ones because they're brothers.
Oh.
And neither one of them was willing to step down from their thing.
No kidding.
So they hired this guy with basically kind of the stipulation is you let the Ludwigs run your fire department.
Oof.
So he's kind of a figurehead.
Oh, wow.
And I've heard that, and that's what I've heard from several people, including people who are in the administration at Bethel Clark.
Hmm. And without sounding, you know, just so supportive of Andy and who he's been and what he's done for this township, I don't know if you can find someone that has the dual...
well, we don't know until we look.
No, you don't, Julie. You don't.
So. I'm with you. It's going to be hard, but I'm saying it's like we've
and
ruled it out.
You're
going
to have to pay them double what you pay him. There's no way somebody's going to do both jobs.
Oh, yeah. That's very
Again,
true.
Until we look, we don't know.
Well, then leave the department the way it is and go look with nothing. So that's that's your guys' choice in that guy.
Well,
make these decisions. I'm just saying it's going to be difficult to find someone that has...
I'd like to hear, you know, some discussion on this. I mean, obviously there's different views. So, I mean, I'd like to hear some discussion on your guys' part of how you'd like to move forward with this. Because I do, I mean, I really think that administration can move forward. I mean, it's going to move forward.
Right.
You know, you're going to have meetings, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. But, you know, I think that public safety part of things, that fire thing is very important to the organization. And so I think you guys need to figure this out. Of how you want to proceed and what you want to do and what you think the best course of action is. My thing right off the bat, and you already know, is I recommend Josh. I know what Josh brings.
Right.
But that's my recommendation. I mean, it's your decision.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'd like to hear some discussion on that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
To try and come to some level of consensus that can be supported by everybody so that it moves forward in a positive manner.
Do you have somebody in mind, Julie?
There are some people that probably could do both. I don't know if they will or want to. I'm not going to tell you who, Don, because I got to talk to them first.
Oh.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm with Debbie. It is going to be hard and may never happen, but I don't want to take it off the table right away if we haven't even looked or put out any, you know, job opening requests or anything. I just... You know, I would rather at least pursue it. But I'm with you on the importance of having something there, somebody there, or something that continues.
And who it is important too.
Yeah, I agree. Right.
Yeah, I really, it would be ideal because we've had it ideal for 10 years. But even having somebody who wore those dual hats with Mike, who was a fantastic administrator, a less than stellar fire chief. And Josh has been here a long time. He gives 110%. And having that continuation in our public safety, I would really like to see that not be broken down. I think it's a very... Andy leaves big shoes to fill. You stepped into that administrator role. That was a lot more work for you than the fire. The fire seemed, I mean, not diminishing it, but you knew that so well. You had so much experience. And administrator, you had to learn that more. But man, you did a fantastic job. But in light of Mike, who did not do a fantastic job as fire chief, did a great job as administrator as well. I mean, I don't know. I would not be willing to hire somebody in new that we hadn't seen in our organization in one way or another.
I think that was my question with Julie. Are you thinking somebody that's on the inside or an outsider?
Well, both. Either, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. If we don't look, we don't know what's out there. I mean, there could be somebody with fantastic experience that we don't even look at if we just make a decision. So I just think we should at least put the job out there and see what happens. Maybe we have an acting in the meantime to make sure everything's covered. I also have questions. If you come back as assistant, then are you going to do what he did, like all the technology stuff and mm-hmm. whatever he's doing now? You're going to do that as
radio.
Well as...
Everything but radios. That's still going to be his forte just because of his dispatch background. He knows it inside and out. But his other duties, like scheduling and overseeing those, you know, he kind of oversees like the inspections and things like that. So I would take a lot of those so he would be able to do, you know, the chief duties that exist. Because trying to do all those things together is a lot.
Mm-hmm. I don't see how you have I don't know a ton about it, but I don't see how you have a chief that hasn't been with Bethel Township, with us. I just picture that as being very hard to have the morale and everything for it to work.
Once again, I'm just going to tell you kind of some of the other places kind of do. I mean, this is where we're ourselves, we do how we want. But in a lot of the other places, you don't have a dual role. You don't have a chief and administrator.
I don't know any other place that has a dual role.
Every now and then you might run into one that has a police chief that becomes that and stays that. But
becomes that leaves the police officer, the administrator.
Secondly, I mean, you have places that hire outside chiefs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Those are generally larger jurisdictions that the chiefs are based, they are administrative chiefs. That's what they do. I mean, they do the budgets, they do the thises, and they do thats. Let's take Harrison Township, we're both familiar with that. So they hired, who'd they just hire?
Mike Chris.
Was he internal?
Yep.
So he was internal.
They usually go internal first and then...
External second. Your bigger ones, a lot of times that you get external are your bigger cities.
Yeah.
Which are generally strictly administrative chiefs, like I said a minute ago. I mean, you can tell when you're watching their interviews on TV and their gear is pristine because it's never been anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's how other places do it. Obviously, you have to do it how Bethel wants to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your guys' purview, but at the same time, for consistency, I think it's important to bring someone from the inside. That just lets everybody feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. We don't want to bring in a new chief and then have to hire a whole fire staff.
Well,
everybody here has a full-time job.
I'm gonna let Mike talk briefly because.
Don't talk long, just briefly.
I don't want this to sound like it's just coming from me, but you know, we just talked a minute ago how Mike is Dr. Mike or whatever, Dr. Phil, Dr. Mike. And I'm gonna let you talk about some of the things where people have already talked about leaving and one of the reasons why they approached me to stay.
It's a very close fire department. Everyone pretty tight with everybody, and they're very loyal to here. And I truly feel if it goes outside, about 85% of the fire department will walk. And we're trying to avoid that because they're good. I mean, they're good employees. They weren't any good. Like, okay, bye. You know, but they are good. And I think one of the concerns too, you know, everyone was bummed when Andy was leaving, you know. Everyone likes the way it's ran here. They don't stay here for the money, they stay here for the environment and the training, and you know, everyone's treated fairly here. And I think Josh has put in his time. Everyone feels Josh has put in his time. Deserves a shot at that.
Well, he's putting his time, but he's also very capable.
That's what I mean. Yeah. You know, you put the, he's more than qualified for the role.
Yeah.
And he's done, you know.
And you've mentored him a lot. I would say Josh is a lot less rough around the edges. He knows how to deal with people in a much more effective manner than 20 years ago.
And he has good relationships with everybody in Miami County.
Yes, exactly.
Due to
his
job. I mean, he knows all the chiefs around here, but it'd be it'd be an easy transition. But just
talking about the mentoring side of that for a second, and then I'll give you a prime example of that. When I was going around and having Josh do all this research for the ARPA funds, mm-hmm. and he would come back and he would tell me, like, yeah, found this and blah, 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 and, you know, just basic facts about it. And I would say, okay, so Josh, I'm going to put in a resolution that basically says, okay, I found something that will work for something that costs around this, and I expect someone to approve that?
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. So that's the administrative part that still needs some mentoring work. You know, because I've cleaned everything up. You know, I've put it into those sorts of formats. It's not that it's not there. It's just how to present it.
Right. And he sat in with you guys on the, you know, the capital improvements for the fire department, for the 5-year plan, for what?
If you remember our last capital improvement 5-year plan, we had the afternoon section dedicated to fire. Mm-hmm. And Jay and Josh both came to talk about the needs of the fire service and the changes and where we were trying to go. So obviously, over the last several years, I've tried to include those assistant chiefs into that role. I know I'm not wasn't going to be here forever.
Right.
And I was trying to mentor and train and everything else for a different sort of job.
Right.
Because it is a different job.
Yeah.
It is. I spoke earlier. It is very hard for me not to get into the weeds of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, because I like being in the weeds sometimes.
Right.
And the administrative part is probably still where he needs some work. Mm-hmm. And if you are on as
assistant fire chief, you can
help with that.
Help a little bit, yeah.
Hey, what format should I put this in? You know, I've mentioned that before. I truly believe that one of the things that I've done with every part of this is tried to get things to function in a team environment. So that where everybody has the command staff. I can't do everybody. I can't get everyone's input on everything. But at least the command staff have input and feel like their positions matter.
Right.
And I think that that's been one of the things Josh has learned, that it functions well. Mm-hmm. And Jay, to some extent, before Jay left.
Right.
they've changed over the last few years.
I mean, and hopefully, I mean, let's hope for you all.
You know,
yeah,
and
change.
They bought into a system, they went with it, and now the thing that I would recommend Josh and why I have is because he knows that system.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to make things work. He knows what works well with the people we have.
Right.
Because honestly, to keep some of these people here, it's a give and take sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
I know
what?
A give and take. I know they can make more money at other places.
Right.
Elizabeth Township just started their fire department, and from what I understand, they're paying 19.
They started it back up?
Yes.
Huh.
And from what I understand, they're paying, what, $19 an hour?
$19 to $23.
Wow.
So I know they, I mean, and they're looking for people.
Oh, yeah.
They're running it just like Bethel?
Yeah, very similar.
Mad River's
two,
same way.
Just running two people.
They're up around.
Oh, my gosh.
So I know they can make
really?
Money. But yet, even when some of these people, if they go to get part-time firemen, are stringing together jobs.
Right.
Two, three of them sometimes. And the thing that's been nice is, let's say they do get that Elizabeth Township or Mad River,
mm-hmm.
And they go work there, so now they have three jobs, and they need to give up one. They're not giving up Bethel as the second.
Right.
They're giving up even one that might pay higher because mm-hmm. they like it here.
Right.
So that's...
That's important.
What it's been about to
yeah.
keep our staffing the way it has when everyone else in the world is having staffing issues.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes you have to make the extra effort to make, kind of like the mental health earlier, you have to address it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to make the environment the same way. You know,
right.
you have to address that environment and keep it to where this is where they want to come. You know, we have expectations. You need to get your house duties done. You need to make sure the truck checks are done. You need to make sure anything else is done. And anything that's asked of you is done.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're serving and you're ready to go on calls.
Right.
Yeah.
So if Elizabeth Township's only got two on, do they have to call for mutual aid?
Absolutely. They
for every run?
They can do EMS calls. They can take a Medi-Cal with two people.
Well, if it's a car wreck, they can't cover.
They call
mutual
aid.
Okay. They only have guys for a fire, you know. So it's, yeah.
That's what I mean. It takes a staff.
Don't they pay New Carlisle for some of that?
They're out of the contract now.
Even the fire side?
Yeah, New Carlisle couldn't staff their own town or city,
right.
let alone Elizabeth Township.
So they dropped that contract cover.
Yeah.
Now they've been trying to get EMS coverage and. I mean, we had Cass Town that called us recently. I wanted to know if we would be interested in providing
Christiansburg
EMS coverage. For, hey, no, we got a 20-minute response time. People would be dead by the time.
Yeah.
You know, you need to figure something else out. We can't do that for you.
Yeah.
Not that we wouldn't. If you touched this, we might have considered it.
Yeah.
Where's the firehouse for Elizabeth?
It's on
go up to
Children's Home.
Yeah, turn them right
that's
there.
Right. Okay, I couldn't picture where it was.
Got a lake behind it. That'd be the only reason I'd want to go work there and fish. Okay, that's my 2 cents. And I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Well, I feel strongly that we need to continue some leadership within the fire department. I feel like Josh is a good candidate. And Josh and I did not always see eye to eye for a long time, but he has definitely grown in his role and he's very capable. And I think if Andy's the assistant chief, they just swap roles, that'll be, wow, a fantastic mentoring opportunity. We don't lose all of Andy's knowledge. Josh, when he has a question, can go back to Andy for some help. Some ideas, some perspective. I feel comfortable making him chief and Andy assistant chief.
I'm about promoting from within.
Yeah.
I've run my organization for 33 years and I've never, ever considered a leadership role if they hadn't been there a few years working on it. So I knew them. So, I mean, Julie can't say who it is, so Josh sounds like the best one to me.
How come you won't say, like, who you have in mind so they can just consider these other people?
Well, I haven't talked to them. I don't know if they're interested. And there's more than one person, even in the township, that could do both. Don't know if they want to.
Well, how soon could you ask them? I mean, this decision isn't, we don't vote here, so you go to the next regular meeting or whatever, but how soon could you ask? I mean, you want,
call them now.
I'm just saying.
Also, I mean, we should have been doing this in executive session, so that's the other thing, is I don't want to out some people that I haven't spoken with. You know, because if they're not interested, then, you know, maybe they don't want people to know that.
We can go in an executive session right now and talk about it. That'll work.
Well, I'm still not gonna give any names.
Oh, okay, so it's not executive session.
Well,
I'm saying all of this should have been.
Since we don't know anybody else, I'm gonna be with Josh.
Like I said, I've just brought it up for discussion, so this is up to you guys and.
I think if you get somebody from the outside, it's a total slap in the face to our fire department. That we don't think one person in the fire department could do the job. I don't know why anybody would work another job.
Never in there anywhere, Don, did I say somebody from within could not do it. That's not what I said at all. But since we don't know what's out there, you know, my obligation is to the community, right? So we have to do what's best. Still not saying Josh is not what's best. I don't know at this point,
but
is all I'm saying.
For 2 years, that's been your answer, that you don't know. And we know so. But for 2 solid years, every decision has been, well, I don't know.
Well, I have to do some research before I can say.
I think that it's important that we continue to provide the best possible services for our public safety. If for some reason a pothole doesn't get filled next week or the road doesn't get plowed at 5 a.m., not because we didn't have the administrator in there to let them know or they didn't take it upon themselves, it's not the end of the world. But the fire department, and in particular Andy and his command staff, have worked incredibly hard to build up a department that's highly skilled, highly trained, fast response times, has and serves the township well in an emergency. And I would hate to see that stumble or fall or somebody, you know, meet an untimely end just because we didn't have the people on staff or know who was doing what, because we failed in our leadership. And that to me is very important. And if you're confident that Josh can do it and you're willing to be an assistant chief, I think that gives us some continuity that we need. And that's important for all our residents.
Again, I didn't say any of that wasn't true about the department.
I'm not faulting you. I'm just stating my opinion of why I that's how I am leaning towards those things.
Is this an open meeting where I can speak? I've got a couple questions myself.
It's up to Don if you'd like to. It's a workshop. You can allow public comments or not allow public comments.
We'll allow them. I've never shut nobody off. Normally, it's a workshop meeting. It's the workshop people.
I mean, under the township rules, since I'm an elected, soon to be sworn in person, I think I've got a little bit to say here, but you don't have to take it to heart, but I think you should listen. He said a couple, both of you guys said a couple of decent things, and Julie's got a point as well. First of all, Joss just took a pretty good position, you know. That in itself should play into this little scenario here that we're going. The fact that it is a new position for him, it's going to require more responsibility at his primary job. This is his secondary job. And we're about to throw on another pretty primary position here at this township for him, one of which that our current chief says that he's lacking in some experience as far as the administrative part of it goes. And the current chief gave his notice less than 7-8 days ago, and now that's changed. He's supposedly going to be out the 31st, but now he wants to come back as an assistant to...
My thing said I was stepping down as fire chief.
Of stepping down, okay. But now you're going to play an executive role, so to speak, in, by mentoring him while he's learning the ropes of the administrative part. I don't understand why this couldn't be an interim position situation where you're not losing the quality of staff that you have at the fire department. You're not, because you're keeping all the same individuals. You're switching roles temporarily till you make a decision on whether or not this is a good fit. It may not be a good fit. And you don't have the capacity yet to determine whether it's a good fit, because you don't know if he's going to stay. You don't know if this pressure that's going to be put on Josh, given his new position at his current employer, and the position you're about to put on him, is one to work together cohesively. So there's a lot of ifs here, lots of ifs. So I'm not sure, given that, if you look at it from the outside, whether this would be a good permanent fit at this point in time. You probably should do an interim situation, see how it goes, and then make a decision 6-8 weeks down the road, if things work according to what you think they're going to work. If they don't, you still have the option to say, let's go outside. Let's look outside. Or maybe appoint somebody else within. Or maybe Andy says, hey, I'll take over. This doesn't have to be a where all the end all today or in the next couple of days. You can say, maybe we should take a look at this. We can try it, see if it works. If it works, then we sign up. If it doesn't work, we find something better that will work. I haven't heard that from anybody other than Julie.
Okay, thank you for the comments. You going to come back as the fire chief?
No.
Oh.
But you want to do 2 years as assistant?
Potentially, yeah. Maybe a year. I don't know.
Therein lies my question. You don't know. You don't know how long. You may only stay a few days. You may stay 2 years. You don't know.
But my part of it is not as crucial as the actual chief's part of it.
Well, if he isn't fluent in the administration side of it, then that makes him not a viable candidate. We need somebody who's fluid in the administration side as well as the other sides that you've laid out.
I think he was meaning to be the township administrator was what he was referring to.
Well, that's not the way I took it. I took it as though he wasn't good at the administration side. He's good at the people side here, but as far as knowing the ropes on what he could do as fire chief, he wasn't.
Well, the township administrator is the one who wrote all the resolutions. I mean, this is how it is currently. I can only speak for how it is now. And to what I was telling Josh is, this is the stuff that you need to give whoever is in there to write those things so that appropriately they know what to do. I think part of the problem is we have an intimate knowledge of each other, so he just thought, well, this is how I just tell you, and then you make it, you fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I was telling him that you have to tell them every little detail. He had the details,
right.
It's just how he told me.
Right.
He still won't be responsible for writing the resolutions and doing those sort of things. He'll be responsible for giving the trustees the weekly reports, and his biggest job is going to be run the fire department.
Right.
That's the biggest component of the fire chief job. I mean, that I currently hold is to run the fire department.
Right.
The only thing you get from me as a fire chief is a weekly report.
Right.
Or a bi-weekly report at the thing. I mean, you guys, asked me for things from the fire department, and you could ask Josh. I'm not gonna fight for one way or the other. I'm just trying to answer the questions that arose.
Well, since we're doing this here, I'm going to say this, but I'm sure it'll be misconstrued and I'll be the, you know, horse's ass for saying it, but I had every confidence in Josh when you recommended him. From what I know, I don't know him really well, that he can do the job. No doubt in my mind. Okay, that is not the same thing as wanting to open it up, because if we do that and we still select him, then we know we got the best person, the community knows that, and he would probably likely be that person, right? I mean, especially given it is going to be hard to find somebody that can do both. I get that. But, you know, what concerns me now is that he came to you and asked you to come back to mentor him.
Make a smooth transition. That's the biggest
thing. They just
thing.
Want him to stay.
I'll
just
blunt.
Trying to convince him to stay.
And a lot of
any
that was
way,
me.
Shape, or
it was
form.
More me than Josh.
Julie, they just
okay, well, he said, I'm sorry, what I heard was Josh asked me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know that until somebody tells me. What I heard was Josh asked me. Okay. So I have complete confidence that if he can do it, but then I hear now he's got to have Andy back. So it's a little concerning.
I misspoke a little bit on that.
We don't have any lieutenants in the wings that could move
be promoted.
That's the other big part. Because
we talked a lot about loyalty in the beginning of this, and I was avoiding even saying this. When it got announced that I was going to retire, I was immediately, and whether this would have happened or not, this is what I was told by the people. I was going to lose an entire shift, the 5th platoon. They were all leaving. It was like, if you're here, there's no reason. If you're not here, there's no reason to be here. That's Alex Segreto. That's Alan Davis. That's Tyler. That's
Austin Hoffman.
I had heard that Ben Cahill was going to leave. I had heard that potentially, who else did we hear was going to leave? There was one or two more.
There's a lot more.
Yeah,
and everybody just wants.
And I didn't
want
everybody to just leave and leave this place like this. That was one of the reasons I even considered what they were talking to me about, to be mm-hmm. honest with you. And just out of straight loyalty to me, which is either stupid or not stupid. I don't
right.
know. I mean, if you're leaving, we're leaving. I mean, and it, so.
Speaks volumes about you.
And I kept telling everybody, look, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, you do what's best for you. Don't leave because I'm leaving.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. But if you don't think it's right for you, then leave.
Right.
And I didn't want that to happen all at once. I didn't want a mass exodus from the fire department.
Well, we don't want a mass exodus.
And so I misspoke using the word mentoring. That's what I really mean. I want to make it, and it's not because they don't have confidence in Josh. It's because of me. And I don't know what that means.
Well, I can say that people want to work here, and that has not always been the case. It really hasn't.
I apologize that if I came off wrong with what I said, Julie, because it's the transition more than the mentoring. The mentoring was kind of like an added bonus. Hey, and like Josh said, when he talked to me, he goes, I was still going to call you and ask you questions anyway. You know, that's the big thing.
That's different, though, than having somebody here. I mean, I get that.
I
you know, everybody would
say
do
that in a way of not. I didn't want to sound threatening or anything else with what I was telling you guys. Like, if you don't hire Josh or
like you had a big head,
then everybody's going to leave. Because I don't want to do that. I don't know how else to say it. I just don't want the fire department to fall apart. I put a lot of time and energy into it, and I don't want it to fall apart. And I was just kind of at one point in time going, okay, it'll still survive.
But if 10 people leave en masse within the first 2 or 3
that's
weeks,
almost half of our staff.
There's no way we'll fill that right away. I mean, that's a lot of...
I mean, we replaced one person. I don't even know when the last time we replaced someone is. Probably 2 years, Mike?
Yeah, COVID.
COVID time? Yeah. So,
are we not replacing the people that resign then?
No, we haven't had anyone resign.
Nobody leaves.
We had a couple leave. We had Anna leave, and we had, who really...
Yeah, we've had a couple.
We kept Anna on because she was the EMS coordinator.
Some of the people that left, Julie, never really started. They never
yeah,
really
the one guy
shifts.
Started,
like
worked a shift,
they
and
were,
then left.
Got hired, and then they never would... sign up to work, so a couple of those, I don't.
But of our base people, we really haven't had, I can't think of anybody of the base people who left. Like I said, we lost Anna.
The one dude got a full-time job at Beaver Creek.
Oh, yeah, the one new part-time.
So that was it.
Yeah, so we lost him.
And Jasper left but came back.
And we did replace him with Stetson, or not Stetson, Braden Peak. So we, you know, he's the newest person on. But really, we don't have much turnover. So, I don't know the best answer. I wanted to hear you guys' discussion. I was doing it for some continuity and some ability to get more people to move up into different positions over the time. I don't have to if that's not what's wanted. I mean, it is what it is. I'm trying to be as honest of what I'm telling you. I have every confidence that Josh can do it. I don't think he's truly lacking on the administrative side of things. I think he's like anyone else would need help and ask a question every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is an administrator at dispatch now. And so how dispatch works is they work 3/12s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he has 4 days off a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same hours as his last job.
Yeah. That didn't change. Right now, currently, generally on his 2 days off, he comes in and works 2 12-hour shifts.
Wow.
On 2 of his 4 days off.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're open, he comes in and works them. So it's not like he's not here already.
Mm-hmm.
Do with it how you will. These are just my thoughts to you guys on what exists now. And I'm sorry, I was just trying to, I didn't want to make it sound like I was trying to say, if you don't do Josh or if you don't keep me, you know, I wasn't trying to make it sound like that.
Well, that's not what I heard. What I heard was when you said Josh asked me, then my question is, does Josh not have the confidence that he can do it himself? I know you have complete confidence in him. You said that again, but that's not what I was trying to say. What I was trying to say was...
And so I apologize
but
how
now,
it came out.
No, I get it. Okay.
I can tell you that Josh came to me and was brainstorming how we keep him. And he said, what if he stays? What if he switches positions? I said, well, go ask him. I said, okay. But they just want Andy around. We're a family. It is a total different... I don't know, the fire department is just totally different. We're a family, we see each other more than we see our own families. They're together, it's just, it's very loyal, and they just didn't want to see him leave, period. Whatever shape.
Well, it would have been good to lead with that.
Yeah, well, he didn't know, you know, but I'm just...
You know, it's hard for me to switch into this role right here. It really is. I mean, I've gone from... you know, that total leadership role to try and play this role here, you know, as far as explaining to you guys the sentiments, and it's just different, and I apologize for stuff where I went about it the wrong way.
He doesn't like the emotionalness of it.
I'm still
hard. Raw,
so that's all on the table. So I could, once again, Julie, I can only... apologize for not painting you the right picture to begin with. And that's why it was hard to explain, because I don't feel that Josh even feels that he's not capable of doing it. I think it was just kind of more of, I don't know, maybe they're just trying to keep me. I don't know. And I am different as a chief.
How do you feel about Andy? Andy assuming that role.
I don't know. I haven't had any time to think on that. So, you know, I know you guys are going to take this as a personal comment. I actually love Andy. I know he doesn't think so, but not in any weird sense, but, you know, the jobs that you do, appreciate all that. I'm just wondering, just thinking if it wasn't this situation, it was another business. Usually when people leave, they leave and let the next person do their thing. I get that this is a different situation. So I'd have to think that through if we put somebody there, I want them to feel that we have that confidence that they're the person that will do it and they don't need somebody standing behind them that was here. And I know you know, they're going to come to you and ask questions, of course. And a lot of times, you know, those during a transition time, people are contracted even to answer those questions and provide some support. But it's not usually 2 years. It's usually, you know, a short time to get through some cycles, right, of what's happening. So I don't know. I'd have to think all that through, which, of course, I haven't had time because it was raised at the meeting. So I'm going to need some time to think about that.
Anything else?
Well, where do we go from here?
I'm waiting for you to tell me.
Well, I think it would have to be two resolutions. One, and we'll just have to vote. Hopefully Julie has time to think about it. There has to be a resolution whether or not we make Josh the fire chief, and then there has to be a resolution if we make you in the other position.
And is that interim fire chief? Is that regular fire chief? How do you want to proceed with that?
I'm good with regular fire chief. I am. I've seen too many fire chiefs that were an absolute dumpster fire, no pun intended, because we didn't have a full scope of their commitment to the department in depth. Josh, I know him. I know he will have some road bumps along the way or speed bumps along the way, but I know that he can learn, and I know that he's very competent at what he does, and I'm comfortable with him doing it.
I'm comfortable with Josh. The other thing, though, is I don't totally understand an interim position. Anybody you hire, they only work there. You don't want them to work anymore, or they don't want to work anymore. So I don't see the point of interim. You know, I've been at my job 33 years. I'm going to retire in March, but they could tell me tomorrow's my last day. You know what I mean? That's Ohio's an at-will state. You work at will. You can leave any day. They can let you go any day. So I don't understand. To me, it's two resolutions.
It's definitely two resolutions, yeah.
Okay. One of the things I should have put on the agenda, Julia had sent me an email about some of the technical stuff of the township.
Can I just ask one more question about this?
Sure, before we're going.
So are there other job descriptions for the assistant and battalion chiefs?
Yeah, we're still digging
some
of them up. A lot of them were done by resolution, so I know Debbie's been working on getting those.
Okay, that was it. That was my last question.
I came in this morning after your email last night and started trying to dig, and had to go back all the way to the a resolution. That was from a resolution back in 2013, so they're kind of spread out here and there. We're getting together. Anything else? Sorry,
nope.
I should have said that before. Text my gov and the website of how that gets maintained, you know, after next week as far as that goes. And somebody probably needs to be somewhat trained on how to do that, at least have an actual thing. So I said we talk about that here, so it's kind of a...
Well, Julie, you sat in on the training on TextMyGov, right?
I did, but that was a year ago, and I also never actually sent anything out. Andy was doing the weekly upcoming meetings, and also I've never been responsible for checking the incoming. So I just wondered if he could just spend a few minutes going through that. But I did go to the training, but it was pretty brief training. And like I said, I'd never actually done the work.
Mm-hmm. But you went to the training, so at least you got like a start of
familiarity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she should be able to pick up on that pretty quick. It's not it's an easy interface.
Yeah. Yeah, just learn it well enough so you can train whoever takes it over fully.
And then there's the website. That's a little more in depth. So
you use WordPress, right?
Dreamweaver.
Oh, Dreamweaver. Do you know Dreamweaver?
Yeah, well, again, it's been a long time, but, yeah.
Well, you want to take that over? I don't know Dreamweaver. I know WordPress.
Well, I thought he was leaving, but not coming back at all, I was just kind of thinking of things that probably somebody needed to be trained on, and
even if I come back, I'm gonna try and just focus on fire stuff.
Right.
So, if you got some time in the next couple of days, I can go over those things with you.
Okay.
How did you get trained on?
Learned it. That's how I get trained on most of my stuff. I watch things, I read things, and it was a headache getting it. The worst part about it was getting it set up. Now that it's set up, it's just a process about going through and uploading. You know, you got to take it to this file directory, then upload it from that file directory to the website, then change the URL. It's just a process. A lot of that's just showing somebody how to do it. So, if you got a couple.
Maybe we can get it documented as we do it too, and then.
Sure.
That would be there for the next person.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of document. It's just because it's just how it goes. The base process is the same on everything you do, but it depends on where you go to do it within the website. Because some things have multiple links to things. So,
why are you working, or are you on vacation?
No, I'm on vacation next week, but I'm working the rest of this week.
Oh. Are you going to be here for the meeting?
Tuesday, yes. So yeah, you'll leave us on the next couple of days.
Okay.
And we'll go over the.
I should be able to do that.
On the Friday.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to bring that up. I should have put it on there. Wasn't thinking about it. Obviously, anything new from you, right? Has anybody heard anything? I have not heard a thing.
Nothing.
What was the thing? I may have this wrong. I thought there was something on the 11 o'clock news last night about annexation. What else would have been on there?
The lawsuit with the Clark County got dismissed or something? I don't know. I haven't heard anything about you.
No, it was something about the gas stations or something.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I think that's
one of their 17 million new gas stations
they're
building.
Oh, my gosh. Seems like every new corner has a gas station. There's a new, at the 201, now there's a new gas station.
Well, I heard it wasn't new.
Actually, two.
Two?
Yeah, Casey's will be where
Barney
Casey's. Reynolds.
Yeah.
But back there, the southwest corner is going to be a Sheetz.
No way.
Of Executive
Another
Boulevard.
Sheets.
Really?
And 201, that's what I heard.
Oh, wow.
Another Sheetz?
I don't know.
Oh, they're doing
heard.
A lot of construction there, yeah.
The one they just bought on the tour.
Yeah, that is
a
Sheetz, isn't it?
It's a Sheetz, too. Yeah.
I heard on the news this morning, and I don't know if this is related, but Fairborn turned down a Wawa gas station, so maybe they got mixed up with
that.
They
turned it down?
Yeah.
Huh? Fairborn
City Council votes against Wawa gas station proposal. That's one of WHIO's top stories.
I went over to Capital University last night, and I come home, so I was a little bit tired, and I watched the news, but I swear I saw a picture of Campbell on there when the 11 o'clock news was on.
Huh.
Don't know, and that's the only thing I heard. I that's one thing I do every morning on the way is just listening to the three top things that they tell you on WHIO. So
yeah.
That was one of the ones. And yesterday, everybody was getting police officers were getting hit and killed right and left yesterday.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of the news.
Is there another one besides the Preble County?
There was another one where a police cruiser got sideswiped by a semi truck. No one was hurt down in Moraine.
Oh wow!
So that was another big thing on the news.
Okay, but nothing about it. And you're not going to hear nothing on annexation.
I just haven't heard of any even rumblings or anything. I've not heard of anything.
Mm-mm.
And sometimes you don't hear exactly from Beaver Heights, but you hear from other sources about things.
Did you go to the meeting with Wade and them on that annexation?
I didn't, because they only allowed the commissioners to be present.
I said something to Wade about did he think something would be done, and he was saying, well, they're talking about it or something, they might reduce the acreage or something. And I said, well, this, what I've heard over the last 2-3 years is they've talked about reducing it from 500 acres to 250. Well, he said, that'd be great. That right there told me they're not expecting a whole bunch. Because 250 wouldn't do nothing.
It just split it into two different parts.
Two different entities.
Exactly. But I mean, most of them's under that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they would consider that a win, I'm sure.
Massage parlor regulations, I never did hear anything from Chris. Still haven't. I sent him a follow-up email with all the information again. The trees on center, that work's going to be pretty much suspended until springtime. I mean, they might get a little winter if we get some nice weather. We'll go out there and work on it.
Yeah, I got my guys over there today hauling concrete out of the park.
Oh, out of that back part.
And I'll continue that because that's between me and them.
Yeah, absolutely. The archive social, that's still just a placeholder. I think maybe sometime next spring you guys can take a look at that under the new leadership, see if you still want to do it. And that's
it. One page change.
Well, I have a couple of things. So I just wanted to talk about the minutes. I was kind of shocked at the last minutes. And one question I have is we have an agenda packet that has all of the fire. I mean, the admin report, the fire report, the zoning report usually includes the payments. So can we just not start with that to do the minutes rather than taking things out?
They can be attached. They can be attached to the back of those minutes. They're just attached as reports.
But they weren't. What I'm saying, isn't that how the minutes, usually the minutes come back, they're pretty much the...
What I was told to do in the wording. That's what I did, so that all these minutes that have been approved since whenever could be done and approved. And so that's what was said to do in the actual
book. But all the reports are available anyway, correct?
Yes, and they will be attached to the back of the minutes.
In the minutes book.
In the actual minutes book.
Right.
Including the warrants. You have those copies. I mean, they're in your packet, so the packet has those reports, which will be attached to the minutes in the actual minute book.
So this is new. You're going to attach them in the book, even though that's not what was approved in the meeting.
But the reports were approved in the meeting. The reports that were given were approved. That's what they said. The reports were given by the fire department. The reports were given by the zoning. The reports were given. They read them. They're on the tape.
And they're attached.
So are the trustee reports going to be attached as well?
If they're given to you, correct?
If they're given to me.
I gave mine
that night. I signed it. I dated it.
That night. The statements.
And
the statements
I gave mine
given.
And
you
said
want a
I
statement
wanted to be
attached.
In the minutes. That's what you have to do in a meeting.
If the statements.
No, you don't.
Not your reports. Not your reports.
But why? Those are in the minutes as saying
look,
the trustee
look,
gave
Julie,
a report.
Julie, you've been here 2 years and you've not approved one set of minutes of mine that along the way you've not liked them, I should say, and they've had to go and go and go continually, meeting after meeting. I don't know what else to do here. I'm trying to do what I'm told to do. I'm trying to get them done for you. I'm out, so at a certain point in this game, and so I don't know, I myself am tired. I'm tired. It doesn't matter what I do. How good they are, there's something else wrong with them. Every time, every meeting since you've been here, every meeting, Julie. So for me, I can no longer, and if the last thing that everybody has to talk about me about after I'm gone is she never did the minutes, then you never liked them. Nothing
all I asked
you.
For was a little more detail
you asked
and to
for
put in
basically.
No,
you
I did
every
not.
Word, and every word is on the audio. So people over 20 years have never complained about the minutes. Our minutes are even more detailed than the school board, Bethel Clark, New Carlisle's. I'm just saying we've argued about this for 2 years, Julie. I don't want to argue anymore about the minutes. I'm just telling you that you wanted transcripts. I didn't want to do transcripts. So, and
I never asked for a transcript. Not one time did I ever ask for a transcript.
Okay. All right. Well,
just not true. It's not right. True.
You've asked for... You want exactly what you say.
and what everybody else says in the minutes.
I want the gist of what I say, but I want it to be accurate. When you change the gist of it, it's different.
I don't want to argue about them anymore. We've argued for 2 years straight, Julie, and I'm going to be gone. So you tell the next person to do these minutes. She can go back and listen to all the tapes. She can.
You can't listen
them.
To the tapes because there's buzzing on them.
Well, that's not my problem. It's no longer my problem, Julie.
Oh.
Yeah, well, wild to you.
So the minutes that need to be done, though, there are ORC guidelines of things that must be included in the minutes. And they were not in the seven sets of minutes mm-hmm. that were produced for mm-hmm. last week. They were not. Mm-hmm. The other reports, we've always had those in there. And I don't understand if we start with an agenda packet that already has that in there, and you just have to fill in basically a couple of things, right? The trustee reports. Let me finish.
Okay.
The votes and the who motioned and the votes that go with that and the discussion for the resolutions. Those are the two things that would have to be added if you started with the agenda packet. And I do send her all of my reports, Beth.
Ahead of time? They
can be copied. No, not ahead of time. They can be cut and pasted, though, right from the thing, because that's what she asked us to do.
No, she asked us to send them to her ahead of time.
Well,
because the difference is that if she has it ahead of time and you say you've written down A, B, C, but you only talk about A, then she can just X out B and C. But then if you send it to her the next day or 4 days later, she has to go back and listen to the tape. Did you say A, B, and C?
Well, I take out the things that I don't say, and then there might be things that I add that I do say that would never get added if I give it to her in advance. So, I mean, I thought we came to a compromise on that and said I'd send them the next day or so, which I have done.
I think you came to the compromise. I don't think that was what Debbie compromised on. But either way...
Well, maybe we need to go listen to the recording.
Oh, I got 22 minutes, so... are we good with
No, I got one other thing.
Okay.
So you guys demanded that I bring you these printouts on the 30 hours.
Oh,
so I brought them.
Fantastic.
So here's some copies. Everybody. Looks like I only made 5, so somebody's going to have to ship because I need one to read. So... this is roughly in the middle. This was when I had asked for some information, roughly in the middle of the page. My assistant is hourly. She's paid, blah, blah, blah. At the last sentence, not to exceed more than 30 hours per week.
Not to exceed.
I understand. The number, though, is 30. So.
Okay. So the question I was asked at the.
Understand. I'm just saying this is, you guys asked for the information that I was going by. Every time I have been. I have asked or been answered on this question, whether verbally, these are the ones I could find. The answer was always 30. Up to 30, average 30, not more than 30, whatever the phrase was, it always included the number 30. So when you said 20, that's why I said
she's a liar.
That I didn't say she's a liar. I said it's
four
a lie.
Four people heard you say it.
So here's where
and
we got
it doesn't matter. The thing is, I was basing it on what I was told. So I said that in good faith. Whatever the line was, I thought it was not correct. Here's the sheet that you said you made with the... again, I only did 5.
Donuts
right
there.
As I ate a donut.
So on this, near the bottom, the finance administrative assistant, average 30 hours per week, which is what I said at the meeting, you said up to. So again, this was 30. And it says average. And I didn't know, I would never know it was 20 because I don't see the hours that people put in. Yes, I know what you put out on Facebook. I do get a report of the money, but it's a net pay. I don't even know what it's for. I don't know if it's the net pay. I don't know if she was reimbursed for something. I cannot equate hours to something I get in that list of payments.
Okay.
I'd have to do deeper research.
My only comment to this is, okay, yes. This said 30. That says up to 30. This said up to 30. When
not
I answered the question at the Meet the Candidates, how many hours of my assistant wearer said an average of 20 hours per week, which was correct, okay? After the fact, we go back and forth to what we've done for 2 years now is the way things are worded. But once you know, and I prove to you that you work 20 hours a week, you still cannot say in a public meeting, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. You can't say that. You just put it out there that I'm a liar on the last night of the election.
I did not. I went and corrected that.
Well,
but you guys don't you don't even you haven't even said I'm sorry because it was your understanding that it was 30 hours. Nobody's ever said that to me. Nobody's ever said, okay, we didn't know that you understood it was 30 because you never saw 20. You never heard 20. So here's the 30.
And we already found this spreadsheet. We know what we said on that. We know why.
Then why did you make me produce it?
Why did I make you produce it? Let's get something straight.
Not you personally. I meant the group.
Let me answer that because I'm the one that called you out on it. This response to questions is to Julie Reese at BethelTownship.org. Today's the first day I've saw it.
You're copied on it. You were copied on the response.
Why would I be copied on it if it says...
Because whenever I ask Debbie anything, she responds to everybody. I don't know why it doesn't show that, but it was.
Okay. I'm not going to call you a liar because I'm not going to call anybody a liar. Okay? So I'm not doing that. But I have never seen this. So it is the one thing that has been deleted in my email.
It's You're not supposed to delete any folder. Emails.
I didn't say that. I'm it would saying say on there that it is not in
this one looks
my
like it was directly to you.
Email.
And
it
normally
is not
always says
in my email. That's what I'm saying. Did you understand that?
Yes, I got it.
Was there anything confusing about it? This is not in my email.
Well, it might have been in. Well, it was in a big long chain
it's
of things.
Not
okay,
in
Don,
my email.
I understand, okay. And I'm just telling you, it was in a big
was
long.
Was for budgeting, and I see where you understand that. But as Debbie went over this, and I believe this was over at Aileron or whatever when we
no,
got
it wasn't.
This, and
that was in a November.
This was like a worst case thing. It was explained. One of the things, and you know this is one of my pet peeves, you are always writing, so you can't actively listen. Also, I've had a few education courses and all, and there's two types of listening. There's listening so you can make a response, and there's listening to understand. You only listen to respond. You don't listen to understand. This was, but you ask a question, Debbie answered it way after this was done, and it was based on facts.
But I didn't have those facts, Don. These were my facts.
They didn't.
Do you not understand that?
Not.
These were my facts.
Julie,
my facts
Julie,
were the emails and the papers
Julie,
that I got.
I understand totally. You're the one that cannot or will not understand.
How can you
they
say
did
that?
Not
I
very
get,
easily.
I've,
it's a
I
fact.
Corrected my posting.
I've never seen that.
What? That's not my fault, Don.
Yeah, it is.
It's my fault that you can't go
they
out and look at the one that you already looked?
They ask Debbie a question. She answered it, and then you answered it.
I didn't answer it. No, I just said that under my breath.
Well, I'm hard of hearing, and I heard it. I was even sleeping. Her husband took a picture of me sleeping.
You said you correct.
You know what I mean?
That you were incorrect in
I heard it. Three other people on the front row away from you, their ears, you know, typically ears, it goes in this way, not this way. And three other people sitting in the front row heard you
Who?
Say that.
Who heard me say
that? Oh, Julie, I can't say that. Isn't that what you always say? Well, I'm not going to say.
Okay.
Ain't that what you said for
yes,
two fucking years? I'm not going to say.
Wow.
I'm not going to say. I can tell you who they are, but I'm not going to say.
Okay.
So my question to you, I heard you just say you corrected it. You corrected that you...
On
Facebook? Did you just say that, Julie?
I did.
And did you... Can I see that?
It's on Facebook.
Where? Is it on a page I can see?
I think it's on the township... My talk, yes.
You corrected what you said on the night of...
Is that yours or not?
I explained where I got the information from and that you were correct that the actual number was just under 20.
Great. I'm going to go look for that. Thank
well, you go look for it.
I appreciate it. You did that. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I swear. Swore. Is there anything else?
Well, she said she had a couple of things, minutes, but she only did the minutes. So
well, then we talked about, she said the second thing when she brought that.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That thing.
Is that it?
Yeah, I'm done.
You have to run and talk to her?
No, I do not have to go talk to her.
Well, are you going to stay for the meeting or what?
Is it not over?
I don't know. Normally, you wouldn't let us be over without having a motion for adjournment.
I think when it degrades into this, Don, that it's time to go. Are we adjourned or?
I don't know. You're making a motion?
I will make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, we have a second?
I will second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there discussion?
Meeting.
Let's have a vote, Debbie.
Ms. Reese?
Yes.
Ms. Van Aaron?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes, we are adjourned at 10:47. We got the time in there.
All right.